Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 8th of July, recording at 6:58 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, I'm going to start with a discussion of silver and gold, because they've been really quite exciting in the last 2 days. This is an important move, and I know a lot of subscribers have interests in these metals, particularly in the gold bullion. So, first I talk about my baby steps trading operation in silver, which I know that some of you have been following. Now, the good news is that this has turned out to be, at least for me, has turned out to be an extremely profitable operation. Silver prices have rallied back close, I think within about 10 cents of where I actually started the baby steps accumulation phase, and of course I've traded out, I've been buying and selling continuously and taken at least 16 profits on the baby steps basis during this operation. But I'm certainly not bragging about it, and I'm not proud of the position and the tactic, because I described it as being cavalier, which is could really be a euphemism for being irresponsible, as a tactic went. Because what I started doing, or because what I was doing, when I came back into silver, because it had fallen, I think, $3 from its high, is that I was attempting to catch a falling knife. And as you well know, that in markets, that can be a pretty painful experience in the short term. Now, I was prepared for silver to go on falling and thought it could bounce at any time, and if I do something like that, I need to give it a lot of leeway, in other words, allow for a big overshoot. But I did say at the time that this was not an ideal baby steps tactic, that the ideal baby steps tactic was to take a market that was clearly, fundamentally very oversold, excuse me, and showing signs of that type 3, as taught at the chart seminar, ranging sideways, ranging big base formation development. Of course, I did that with silver and gold and palladium in their base formation stages last year and this year. But I wasn't doing that in this last trade in silver, which commenced on the 21st of April. I was attempting to catch the falling knife, and silver went a full dollar below my initial purchase. And as a consequence of that, and while I was able to finance this, as a consequence of this, though, I had to dig quite a big hole, and the profits that I've taken to date and that I still have on remaining open positions are only now just moving above the maximum loss that I was showing on open positions when silver was down in the $5.5 level. So basically it was a risky trade, and it was an unnecessarily risky trade. And in my other silver trades, for instance, I feel I took almost no risk, or very low risk. I never had more than a few thousand pounds at stake, because even when it was still in the base formation development stages, because I traded relatively on a relatively small basis and then didn't leverage up until I had in the money stops protecting my earlier positions. But of course, that's a tactic for a trending market environment. And we haven't had much of that recently. We're looking at that silver chart. A number of people may be hoping that, well, now we're going to have a trending market environment. And why didn't I just hold off until it formed the small base formation that you can see on that chart and then go in? Well, with hindsight, that would have certainly been the far better strategy overall. As to today's upside breakout, and it was pretty dramatic, really good dynamic in here today. I have continued, as you will know, with the baby steps tactic of lightning on the strength, and I'll do it. I'm probably down to probably about 30% of the maximum position that I had at any given time, And I have buy orders underneath and I have sell orders above. So I'm continuing basically with the baby steps tactic, but hoping that now that it formed that, what is it, that sort of 2 to 3 month base, that I won't be seeing a move back down towards those lows. Okay, enough on all that. And if silver runs, to say if it just runs on the upside from here in terms of a big trending move, and obviously today's strength reflected the fact that at least a number of big traders, no doubt including hedge funds, suspect that that might well be the case, and perhaps there was some short covering as well. But while it could do that, of course, it has the big long-term base and the good pattern underneath, and I am a long-term bull of silver. Such is the nervous market environment that we have right now that I'm not tempted to switch over to a trailing stop tactic overall. I'll sell into the strength long long positions only, and buy on the dips. When I say long positions only, that means I certainly won't sell short, because I believe this is a major bull market. Okay. Now, what about gold? And just to give you the price on the silver currently trading, September contract is currently trading at, it's come back a little bit, it's 641.5. Right now it has been as high as 647. Most of my remaining positions are in the December contract. Now, gold had another good day in here today. It's currently trading at to 407.85, and it has been as high as 409.15. Say that was a very big gain yesterday. Helping it along, although not dramatically so, is the dollar's weakness. But the dollar is not down very much. As a matter of fact, it's actually up a tiny bit against the yen, and it's only up 14 little ticks against the euro as I speak at 123.87. So while the dollar is basically soft, I just think, as I said yesterday in my piece on my speculation about what the hedge funds were doing, that this is just a revival of trading interest in some of last year's better performing market moves. But the more interesting thing regarding gold, I believe, is the two charts that I put up showing gold bullion on a weekly basis. And you can see that it's again breaking back up above 407. It's pushing back into that earlier midterm or medium term top formation that we had seen. And whereas the gold bugs, the Amex gold bugs index, is considerably underperforming. And I said I'd talk about that in terms of what it actually means. Now, I'm guessing in terms of what it actually means, and I don't think any of us can really do anything other than that. But you've heard me say before, certainly the people who've been subscribing for a number of months, let alone years, have, that when you get the beginning of a recovery cycle in commodities, and we've got to go back to 2001, 2002, 2003 for gold and silver. At that and the base metals. Now, during that stage, the shares will definitely lead the recovery, and they'll get them a much, much better performance overall, because you get a number of very good analysts who are working in the equity field who will recognize the recovery potential on a fundamental basis, see the potential on a technical basis, and play it through the share market. Whereas the commodity speculators and traders may they may be limited to the market makers and hedgers and the trade, and that big speculative play isn't going to come in until there's a really quite outstanding case to be made for the actual commodities relative to everything else that these people can consider. In other words, I didn't put that terribly well, but let's take the hedge funds. A true hedge fund can do absolutely anything, so why should it go in and buy a metal? It's a global, international, all assets, financial assets, beauty contest. And those metals are really going to have very attractive patterns, and the interest will have had to have been generated by a superior performance in the share prices before they'll actually go in and buy the commodities. But what happens, as I've said on so many occasions, is that once the shares have run up a long way and the metal is really beginning to move, then by far the better value is in the metal, and by far the greater risks are in the shares, because all kinds of things can go wrong with mining shares. For instance, there can be strikes. They might have a daft hedging policy, as many did for some time, that erodes the profits. They might have bad management. There can be an accident in the mine. There can be tax increases, labor disputes, all kinds of things, even government expropriation and sort of dodgy areas geopolitically. Now, any of those factors, if they're going to if they occur, are going to be positive for the actual metal price, whereas they can be devastating for the actual mining company. So that's why last year, late last year and earlier this year, why the metals themselves began to considerably outperform the shares. And when I first started mentioning that, quite a few, well, not quite a few, a small number of subscribers got a little bit annoyed with me. I think they're a little bit impatient, and the fact that I was stressing this point, because they were conditioned to believe that, oh, wait a minute, the actual commodity is highly speculative. Well, that's the asset, isn't it? And they were much better off in the shares. Well, it all depends on the price and the time and the cycle. Okay, what about today, when we're seeing gold bullion now outperforming the actual shares? Well, one factor that occurs to me is that the investment community, and certainly including the hedge funds, who would be interested in this sector, or have become wary of the stock market. And that's because we've had this indifferent performance in stock markets. A lot of funds are actually losing money overall, or certainly not making very much. And there's understandably a good deal of concern. So there's a reluctance to go in and buy the metals. Now, if the metals continue to perform, the underlying metals continue to perform, and they have patterns that can certainly justify further gains, then the shares may stage at least a partial catch-up. That wouldn't be surprising. But the flip side of that coin is that, given the rather ropey technical patterns and the weak leadership that we have seen in terms of bank shares way underperforming, and end of cycle laggards such as oil stocks and some defense, very defensive issues, doing extremely well, that there is a risk that if stock markets continue to head south, of course, that the shares just will not catch up at all and will considerably underperform. Now, I have some of the shares and I have the metals, but I've never, certainly never had a metals share position over the last couple of years anywhere near the size of the silver position that I've been paring back as I've been taking profits on both the baby steps basis and now this greater strength that I've seen in the last couple of days. So I'm still inclined to play this through the metals. Another factor that occurs to me, and this is just a hunch, it can only be just a hunch, is that the lagging performance of the shares may be a clue that the metals are going to remain choppy rather than get big trending moves. And indeed, that choppy action in the metals is the norm, rather than the exception, certainly in this stage of the cycle. And I've said over and over again that things like gold are going to be boring far more often than they're exciting, up or down. In other words, we'll get months and months and months of ranging activity. And my comparison, of course, has been to say that gold bullion today is where the S&P index was back in the mid-1980s. In other words, a secular bull market is underway, but not all that many people know it. And those who do recognize it think that most of it's history and that it doesn't really have that much much additional potential. Well, my view remains that gold will go up a long way and over the next 10 to 15 years. But it will, we're in the very slow, rangy phase of that overall recovery. See, where you get months and months of sideways activity, and then you get a sudden sprint, which is probably not going to last more than a few weeks, and those are followed by big pullbacks and long, boring, ranging phases, and so on. Well, but we're on the upside right now in the metals, and let's enjoy it while it lasts. Now, my other trade, I'll stick with the commodities here for a moment, that I put on today is, well, I came out of it and then went right back into it. It was that natural gas. And when I did that, I almost didn't do it because I started to do it and then I thought, no, this is impulsive. And I was disappointed that I'd been stopped out because although it was a profit and not an insubstantial one because it was a reasonably large position, I had given up about, I must have given up, well, I'm at least two-thirds of the gain that was available at one stage yesterday. But that had occurred because an oil had been down today. Crude oil, for instance, on NYME got down to 38.85. It was down on the day. And the reason for that is that people were expecting the U.S. weekly figures coming out on gasoline to indicate an increase. The more gasoline was available in the U.S., therefore no shortage, although the price is still high. And so that statistic came out, and yes, people were right on that, and it fell back. But my feeling really was, well, that's just the statistic du jour, and really this is a dangerous situation in terms of threats to energy supplies. So I then was looking at the crude oil price, which was starting to recover and moving a little bit to the plus side. I looked at the natural gas and was astonished to see that it had fallen back sharply and I'd been stopped out. It was lower than where I'd sold it, so I bought it back. Now, is that going to work out? Well, we'll soon know. Natural gas has got to get above $6.50 to break that series of lower tops, which is a little bit worrying, but it is back near some prior support. But those of you who are really into charts will notice that there's a potential descending triangular type of shape on that chart, so I certainly don't want to see that support broken. Now, at the moment, the oil market's moving in my favor here. We've got crude NYME again trading between 40.20 and 40.30 here right now, so near the highs of the day, up a dollar. Well, currently at 40.20, up $1.12. So that will lend support to the natural gas. I haven't seen any news on that. Something may well have happened. But now let's get back to stock markets, because when the oil price was weakening, that was helping Wall Street, which was on the upside. Can't remember, but I think the Dow got up to 30, 40 points at one stage. And it's now down 44 points, which isn't a huge amount, less than 0.5%. But the S&P is down 660, and the NASDAQ's getting whacked again, down 22 on the NASDAQ Composite Index. And the futures contract on the NASDAQ 100 is back below 1440. So back near the lower side of today's range. I may well, if this market closes down here a little and follows through tomorrow, I may well start to take out some of my stock market short positions, partly because, as you know, I'm going away in August. I'm away for just about all of August, and I don't want to have a large number of positions on board, although I've often done that in the past. But I just assume not have to watch all this. Although I always keep an eye on the markets, but I don't want to be cycling along in the beautiful hilly countryside and be thinking about an oil position or a NASDAQ short position, so on. So I may well take some profits in this just to reduce my exposure a bit overall. But getting back to these stock markets on a very short-term basis, because they'd fallen sharply last week and into last Thursday starting, and have carried through throughout this week, being very soft. They're on a very short-term basis are becoming a bit oversold, but a lot of pattern deterioration has taken place, and needless to say, people are becoming nervous once again. So they could easily fall further, especially if oil, crude oil, reestablishes itself back above the $40 level once again. I'm just going to check on the Bloomberg News to see. It can be a little bit slow. It just says on crude oil rises as speculators buy futures after report shows supply gains. So in other words, they haven't got anything to say about it at this stage. I'm not aware of any big event in here driving that market up. But suffice it to say, crude above $40 a barrel NYME, as I've said so many times before, is certainly bearish for stock markets, and sentiment begins to improve as it goes down. And there are a lot of people hoping. I mean, these reports that the next $10 in the oil price are down on the downside, and people have been saying we're going to see $30 a barrel oil. Well, those are mostly coming from the mainline broking firms, and of course that's very much what they would like to see. Well, I'd like to see that as well. I'd change my positions somewhat in line with that. But here on this audio and in what I put on comment of the day, really I'm a fool and doing you a disservice if I'm not bending over backwards to try to be objective and to try to see what's actually going on out there rather than come up with theories or forecasts based on what I hope is going to happen. Okay, other stock markets, bit of a rebound in the Europeans, because Wall Street was up when the Europeans closed, but modest gains, maxing out at a half a percentage or a little above half a percentage point. And also in Asia, now I've been talking about, if you're going to have anything, and this is certainly my view, if I'm going to have anything, I want to have emerging Asia. But no sooner did I repeat that again yesterday when we got some negative technical signals. We had a little tiny sort of key day reversals on the downside. They're very small. I'm not rationalizing. They're not big dramatic signals, and you've got to be a bit of a technical aficionado to know what they are anyway. So, but it's just indicating that this recent rally that we've been seeing in Asia has, and now in emerging Asia, has run into some profit taking. So again, overall, in terms of stock markets, bottom line here is this is still a dangerous, difficult period. And investors who have lots of cash, and I know a number of you do, are feeling very comfortable with that, and with good reason. Okay, bond markets, looking at U.S. futures, basically up a tiny bit, just 1/32nd at the moment. So not liking, gave up some earlier gains, not liking this oil price rally for sure. I didn't short the JGBs today, and I think I was preoccupied with other things. I thought about it, then I looked at the chart, and and maybe that'll just edge a little bit higher. And I'm a little reticent to put new positions on, but I can't resist something that it looks like a tempting morsel. So I may do so. Speaking of tempting morsels, my orange juice, I almost pulled that out today, and I probably should have, but it sold off. It sold off about a dollar and a half, and a cent and a half, and then it picked up a bit, and it's now down, or closed down 1.15 cents at 66.70. Instead, I raised my stop, and that's really quite tight. The danger is, of course, that it gaps down in here tomorrow, but it's looking overextended in the short term. As I say, I didn't pull it out at the time because it had recovered about half the decline, and there was a possibility of putting a tail in on the chart. In other words, getting a sell-off and then rallying up to close with a much smaller loss by the end of the day. But that didn't happen. Say I've got a quite tight stop there, which will probably get hit tomorrow, or I may preempt it. And I think that's pretty much it. Euro dollar, that continues to grind slowly higher, which is basically saying that the dollar is grinding slowly lower in here. And as I'm just about to sign off, the Dow's at its lows of the day, down 54. Have an excellent evening.